You're listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Welcome to Hear the Walking Dead, Cinema Geekly's all-encompassing omnibus Walking Dead podcast. It is Anthony and Aurora, and we are back to talk more of The Walking Dead, the ones who lived.
As in Rick and Michonne.
Yeah, a.k.a. the Rick and Michonne show on yes. AMC and AMC Plus, episode 2 called Gone. And as expected, because episode 1 was like, hey, what's Rick been up to? This is the, hey, what's Michonne been up to episode. And this one felt a lot more like Walking Dead because it was just out. It was just out in the open, and there are lots of walkers.
Lots of walkers.
Quite a few walkers. and some interesting characters, and some stuff that I didn't necessarily expect, like running back into, or seeing Aiden and Bailey again from that weird community, which we get to learn more about where they came from. So let's dive in, because there's a lot to talk about. 6 years after Rick's supposed death, Michonne helps Aiden and Bailey reunite with their massive caravan, but she refuses to join it out of disgust over the caravan's rules and her determination to find Rick and get back to their children. Aiden, Bailey, and their friend Nat outfit Michonne for her journey and later come to her aid against a massive horde. Having been inspired by Michonne to break away along with the dozens of others, the group agrees to help her in her search, but the CRM attacks out of nowhere using chlorine gas, killing everyone except for Michonne and Nat, who are forced to spend at least a year recovering from the damage done to their lungs and throat. Pressing on to the location mentioned in the boat's logbook, Michonne and Nat find an abandoned and destroyed safe zone and dozens of burned bodies. Nat convinces Michonne to return to Alexandria, but to keep faith that Rick is still alive. On the way back, the two spot a CRM helicopter and attack it using Nat's explosives in retaliation for the death of their friends, only for Michonne to be reunited with Rick. Nat is killed by a surviving CRM soldier, who Rick then kills. As soldiers close in, Rick helps Michonne create a successful cover story for the CRM, promising that they will escape together. However, Rick is confronted by Jadis, who had recognized Michonne and threatens him if they try to escape while Michonne desires to take down the CRM, despite Rick's warnings that they will never get home if they try to. What did you think of episode 2?
Foreshadowing? Was that foreshadowing?
Oh, 100%, right?
I really like this episode. I'm going to start with that statement. I love the visuals of this episode.
Yeah.
I love the visuals of the first episode, too. But this episode specifically, like that scene where they come to the safe place that was supposed to be like a cruise ship or something. It's like it was a big boat.
Yeah.
That visual was amazing.
Yes.
And even though it was terrible to see all those burnt bodies, it was a pretty impactful visual.
Yeah.
And I also think that the visual of the caravan going down the street and then seeing that helicopter go by them, turn around and gas them, that was super, I don't know why, I felt that was really creepy for me.
Yeah.
And very, like, a very impactful visual, too. So I and of course the horde of zombies and all of that, like, it was very grand things that are happening in this episode.
I don't think it was discussed here at all, but I wonder what the CRM's motives are. Like,
I was about to ask. I didn't know if we missed that in the first episode. Not, why are they gassing people?
Not really. There's a scene with Michonne and Rick where she is talking to him about this. And he's like, there are guys in red uniforms and they leave and then they come back like covered in blood. But nobody knows, you know, what they're doing out there. Like, I don't know.
My theory, because we see this is what I'm thinking. We see one helicopter, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like scouting, like, you know, groups of people like that. Like, this was a caravan of people. And maybe they're trying to, like, control who gets access to their community.
Mm-hmm.
So if maybe they see, like, a big resources. Group like this, right, yeah. right. If they see, like, a big group like this getting too close, let's eliminate these people so that they don't know that.
Population control.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think. But
that's possible. Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I thought it was interesting as well that they sort of had the... I don't know. It sort of worked. I like the idea that they had... it is a little strange that Michonne sort of showed up and in one day convinced a lot of these people to break away from the caravan that they belonged to. But
I mean, to be fair, if Michonne appears in my life, I will do whatever she says.
I mean, the reason she's so against joining them is they sort of have a leave people behind sort of methodology to their thing, which is, you know, if somebody stumbles and falls and they can't get back up, it's like, darn. Well, yeah, it was nice knowing you, that sort of thing. And Aiden and Bailey being two people that were going to be left behind that Michonne brought back to them. Bailey was the sister of the leader of the caravan, and she was willing to leave her own sister behind. And I can see in dark times like that, where it's like, hey, we're losing two people. I'm losing a sister, but we could potentially lose so many more if we try to go back to get them. And it's the... You know, it's the old Vulcan proverb, right? About the needs of the many outweighing the needs of the few.
Yeah. And watching this show for so long, for so many years, we've seen multiple instances where that exact thing happens.
Yeah.
Where they sacrifice everything to save one person and then multiple people die.
Okay. So we were introduced to Nat in this episode, and I'm curious about your opinions on him, because they do a really good job of explaining his backstory, because he's the guy who invented the projectile explosives, and
oh my god, I have something to say about this.
Okay, like there's a moment where Michonne shoots one of them into this horde, which, what a visual.
Yeah, that was amazing.
But
yeah.
These two big purple-ish explosions happen on either side, and it sort of parts them like the Red Sea. And we find out, like, Nat is responsible for all of this, so he's just sort of like MacGyver in the apocalypse. But his
he felt like a video game character, didn't he?
Kind of.
Right? Yeah.
he's just like one of those characters you run into on your quest, and he's just like, I have advanced weaponry to trade you.
Yeah, I feel like he's the one that you go to like upgrade your weapon, you know?
Yes. So his backstory, though, It tracks, but it's also interesting in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a little person, and he talks about how he was bullied all the time, and that bullying turned into like rage, and he used to go into like the woods where he lived and just like set things on fire and blow things up. And normally we'd be like, that is a person who needs therapy.
First he says, so I started burning things up. And then Michonne looks at him like, what? And he was like, in the woods.
In the woods. Not people. Right. I just risked forest fires. Nothing huge. You know, those were a big problem before the zombies happened, you know, right? Forest fires were still a big deal.
Yeah, they are.
I can't, by the way, that's a whole thing I can't even imagine, because those things are just going to go raging unchecked, like out in the world. Mm-hmm. But anyway, like, there's that. Later on, he knows what the chlorine gas is. He's like, because I was looking that up, and I was thinking about dropping it on my enemies once. Like, that sort of thing. And it's like, this guy is kind of nuts, but you know what? There's a reason he's still alive right now so many years into the zombie apocalypse.
Exactly. Yes.
But I kind of liked him, and I understand why he had to go in the end because of where the show is heading. But such a shame. I thought he was really cool.
He was a very cool character, I agree. And I was going to say that I audibly gasped when he was shot.
I did not expect
that. Because I did not expect that at all. I thought that what was going to happen was that Rick and Michonne were going to be like, you need to go. Like, you need to get out of here.
Go back to Alexandria.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Right, right. But before that, we see him take down this helicopter on its own.
Yes.
And he shoots the first, like, missile. Mm-hmm. And nothing happens, and he's like, "Oh, that was a dud." And I was like, "Dude, it wasn't. It just exploded." Like,
that's the one that went through Okafor. Yeah. Yes, yes. Oh man, that's a dud. It's like, not if you're Rick, it's not.
I know. I was like, "You only knew what happened." Inside that helicopter.
That's a really funny juxtaposition. I like that a lot.
Yes. That was great. I don't think it's an issue. It's just like a thought process that I'm having in these two episodes. And I've been having this also ever since like Michonne left to find Rick.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because I'm a new mom. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I feel this way, but I feel like if I was in that position, I love my husband very much, but I would not leave my children.
Yeah.
To go find him in the zombie apocalypse.
I know.
Right?
I feel like they did their best here to try to bridge that gap. So, to Michonne, I feel like she trusts the people in Alexandria with her life. So I feel like she feels like Judith and RJ are going to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they're going to be okay, but still it would be tough. I do like that they added these scenes of her where, like, every morning she gets on the walkie-talkie and talks to them, hoping they're going to hear her, even though they probably won't.
No, yeah.
But she's still doing it, probably for her own sanity.
Of course, of course. But it does bother me a little bit that I understand what you're saying, that she left him with people that she trusts.
Yeah.
But Michonne has in multiple times how many times communities like that fall, right? So there's no way that I will feel 100% safe leaving my children behind.
Yeah.
And the reason why I bring this up is because there's a scene after Rick and Michonne are inside the CRM.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like talking like... there's the two of them, and he's like, you know, asking about Judith, and Michonne is like, yeah, she's fine, and I'm like, you don't know that.
Yeah.
You literally don't know this.
She doesn't, but I mean, it's Judith Grimes. I mean, she probably is fine. She's kind of a badass.
Of course.
But you know, and I was waiting for her to be like, oh man, you should see her, she's such a little badass, but they didn't do that. I did really like their reunion scene together. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very emotional.
Yeah.
Really sweet. I love how, even though Rick was in CRM garb, he's like, I'm not with them. And she immediately trusts him and believes him. And we know that he's telling the truth. Like, we know that he's been trying to escape and to get away, to get with them. So I love that the immediate trust and love and respect is still there. It never went away. I was expecting them to be on the run from the CRM. I was surprised.
Me too.
I was and it makes sense that they'd be captured, though, because Rick was calling in reinforcements or whatever. He didn't know what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that they would end up back there. But so now it's more intriguing to me because they do this great shot with Michonne at the end where she's on these barracks or whatever, and she climbs on top of these this, I don't know, cargo hold things. I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But she climbs on top of them and you get this big look at the CRM base. And it's
massive. Yeah, what massive. They're going to face.
Yeah. It's massive. You know, they've got like a dozen Blackhawks and there's tanks and trucks and there's soldiers everywhere. And it sets up this really great, like nobody, like Rick is the hero of The Walking Dead. He has been the center point of the show. He'd been the center point of the show for years and years and years and years. And how many times have we seen him get into and out of sticky situations? Mm-hmm. And they set this show up immediately by being like, he's tried to escape. Our hero has tried to escape this place for years and was thwarted every time to the point where he gave up trying to get out. He didn't give up on his family, but his hopes of ever seeing them again, he did give up on that.
Right.
He threw away all of the things, and his focus was trying to make the world a better place for them, even if they didn't know he was going to be the one doing it or behind it. And that is such a great setup for this, because even with them together, how do they get out of here? Or do they try to take it down from the inside? How do they do that? It looks so big. How do you take, you know, that's like saying, how do you take down the U.S. government from the inside?
Right. Or whatever. That's exactly like, right.
You know, it's so massive. How can one or two people even do that? It doesn't seem possible. And that's sort of the level of task that they're facing. And I really wasn't expecting that. I was really expecting, you know, they're on a basically like an on the run sort of storyline where they're trying to get back home and surviving the best way that they can on their way back, that sort of thing. But this was something a little bit different. And either way, they would have to end up facing the CRM at the end of the day, because Rick would have gone AWOL, I guess, and they would have charged him with what happened. They would have put some of the blame on him. So either way, they'd end up facing this down at some point.
But here's where I find a little bit of like a crack in the story, because so he tells her, we have to get captured by them and then we'll figure it out. And I'm like, well, but you're already out, dude.
He was.
Just start running. You know what I mean? Like, now you're saying that we have to go in so that we can get out?
Yeah.
We're out.
I mean, he was out, but I guess so. I had that same thought too at first. I'm like, wait, no, just run, just run. Turn around and run. But then, like, when the backup arrives in three helicopters. And then I was like, okay. Like, if they started running, they're not going to outrun a helicopter. And they're going to see them from above. Yeah. And then they're going to know what happened. Or, you know, they're going to suspect, or they're going to know that Rick is involved with this person, and they would just kill all of them. I think Rick's thought process was like, we're not going to be able to outrun them right now. Maybe if he had known ahead of time, but, you know, there was no way for him to know. They came across each other by happenstance here.
I think he panicked. I mean, it's a very overwhelming experience what happened. His helicopter got shut down. Everybody that was in, he saw someone explode next to him.
Yeah.
You know, everybody.
There's a lot of shock happening. Right?
And then he sees Michonne. Like, it's a lot of things happening. I don't think he had time to process how to, you know, run. But I was like, what? Just do what the Whisperers did. Just like carve a zombie's face, put it on your head, and just walk away. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know that there are options, or hide under leaves until they go away. I just kept thinking of all the scenarios where they could have tried.
Yeah,
right. And I feel like now that they're in, it's gonna be harder, especially with Jadis knowing who Michonne is.
Yeah, and I completely forgot about that. I'm like, of course she would know who that is.
Yes, and she's threatening him to, like, expose him or, you know, hurt the people he loves if they try to escape. So it's just adds another layer of difficulty.
She sees this as leverage for something. Yeah.
Yeah, and we don't know what that is, right?
Not that I know of.
Because she said something about staying true to their agreement. And I wonder if the agreement is not telling everybody that they know each other.
Oh, that her and Jadis know each other,
right,
or whatever. Yeah, right. Possibly. Or maybe right. They made some sort of deal prior to, you know, like when she saved him from the, after the explosion or whatever. I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. there's something there. I feel like we're going to get more answers.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know how we're, it's so crazy. This is such a good couple of setup episodes that mm-hmm. I'm a little bummed that we're only going to get 4 episodes to kind of flesh out the story. I presume this is not going to be the only season they're going to do of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't understand how they can do all of it in 4 hours of TV. So
yeah.
There's a lot of ground to cover before they get back home safely to their kids. So yeah, but I'm excited to see where things go. Do you have any final thoughts on episode 2, and what would you give episode 2?
I would say that even though I had some criticism,
yeah,
it means that I'm invested. Mm-hmm. If I start to poke holes in the story and try to like find reasoning behind things, it's because I'm invested.
Yeah.
So they've done a good job at, dragging me back to The Walking Dead.
They'll never let you go.
They will never let me go. And I really, really like this episode. I gave it a 4.5. Mm-hmm. I really liked it. Yeah.
I feel the same way. They've been dragging me back since, I don't know, they've been doing a good job ever since Fear the Walking Dead got really good.
Yeah.
Like, they got really good, and then they did that big time skip in regular Walking Dead, and that was pretty good. That was a pretty good run.
Yeah.
And we're obviously, both of us are big fans of the Daryl Dixon show. That was was fantastic.
Yeah. I feel like that was the hook, because I feel like they were losing me a little bit with the ending of Fear with the Walking Dead.
That was rough.
And then Daryl Dixon came back and I'm like, okay, I'm back in.
Yeah. And this Dead City was good.
Dead City was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's weird that a long time ago, I would have predicted that all of the mishaps would have been with the regular Walking Dead show and not with Fear the Walking Dead. And Fear the Walking Dead ended up misstepping at the end. Oof. And regular Walking Dead and the spinoffs, at least, have been pretty good as far as I'm concerned. So I'm thrilled. I liked this one, too. 4.5. I thought this was great. Excellent performances. Visuals looked really great. Really good performances. I don't know. It was just nothing to complain about, really. A solid second episode for the ones who live : The Walking Dead. I think that's backwards. That's okay. there are only 4 episodes left, but we're not going to talk about the next one until next week. So, hey, there's plenty of time to go catch up, and you can go do that at cinemageekly.com. Head on over there. You can check out the archives of the show. This is for this particular show. Trails all the way back to the very beginning of Fear the Walking Dead in like season, I don't know, 5 or 6 of like The Walking Dead. It goes way back. So there's a lot there. If you're just starting up with The Walking Dead somewhere in there, we go ways back. So if you want to go all the way back there, be my guest. It's all there. Also, this is a listener-supported podcast, and there's some ways you can help out if you want to do that. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/cinemageekly. We have the merch store, geeklymerch.com. Both of those both of those places are linked in the show notes for this episode. And you can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. That's going to be going away soon. All of the podcast things are going away soon. They're asking me if I want to put it on YouTube, and I'm like, no.
Oh, yeah.
but for now, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, just search for Hear the Walking Dead. Hit subscribe, and that way you can join us next time to hear us talk about more The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Lived, episode 3, called Bye.